Well, I'm excited because I've sensed the Lord really leading us today in a topic that was on my heart that I'd like to speak about, and that's always very thrilling. So we're going to look at the parable of the talents, that's found in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Before we do that, I just want to mention Lee and Lisa Truax, that you pray for them. They are involved in a ministry called CBMC, and they are planning their Scroon Lake Conference. This weekend they had a big planning session. This family here, God has blessed us with, and they have an opportunity to minister to a lot of Christians all over the eastern Massachusetts area. And our brother Lee has been is interviewing for the position of executive director or something like that. So just pray for them and continue to keep them up in prayer and keep us informed as to how things are going, all right? So, I don't know. Doesn't sound like it. Is it on? Okay. Maybe I wasn't saying anything that was good there, so. Okay, let's look at this very challenging parable. We've been thinking even at the Lord's table this morning about riches and how that verse in Psalm 37, a little righteousness, I'd have to go back to look at it again, is more of value than the great wealth and the riches. And this is a parable that is talking about that topic. Our brother chose that hymn, when Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. And then if at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done. A number of things this morning have kind of confirmed that perhaps this is a timely message for me. I know I've been very struck by it and challenged to change some things in my life and perhaps all of us here. So Matthew chapter 25, and let's just read verses 14 to 30, this famous parable of the talents. The Lord Jesus is talking here. And it is some of the last things, at least according to Matthew, that he is going to say of great significance publicly before he goes to the cross. And he starts by saying, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his ability. And immediately he took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and he made another 5 talents from them. Likewise, he that received the 2 also gained another 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came. And he brought the other 5 talents that he had gained. And he said, Lord, you gave unto me 5 talents. And behold, I have gained besides them 5 more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And also he that received 2 talents came, Lord, you gave me 2 talents. And behold, I have gained 2 more besides them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And he which had received 1 talent came and said, I knew, Lord, that you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sowed and gathering where you hast not straw. I was afraid. I went and I hid the talent in the earth. Lo, here is your talent that you gave me. The Lord answered, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I have not straw. At least you oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, and then it would come back to me with interest from the bank. Take it from him and give it to the one who'll do something with it. Give it to the one who hath 10. Every one that hath shall be given and in abundance, but he that hath not shall be taken away. And cast ye this unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we're going to look at this parable in 2 sections. And when we read this parable, now all of you are worried. I can see the look, because whenever we think of this parable, we always think of this unprofitable servant. This morning, we're going to speak about the profitable servants. We have a very positive message this morning about what it means to be a profitable servant. So get the scowls off your face. Let's look at this topic, okay? Tonight, if you have the courage, we're going to look at the unprofitable servant. But I want this morning to think about these 2 individuals and the secrets to their success and their ability to thrive in these circumstances. Because, after all, that's what we want to be like. God has given us talents and abilities, children, careers, relationships, friendships, a little chapel to be a part of, all kinds of things that God has given us. And we want to use those talents and those things in a way that are going to be to the glory of God, something that the Lord will be happy with once we're through our little journey down here. And yes, there's a lot that we need to learn from this unprofitable servant. He is almost 50% of the content of this parable. So we are right to focus in on him, but we need to focus on the other as well. And so this morning, let's see if we can find some of the secrets to profitability in our Christian life. The secrets to profitability. Now, this is a parable, and I am talking to an audience here that understands these things. That's what I don't need to spend a whole lot of time on what that means. It's a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And for those of us who have some understanding of the scriptures, listen, God came to us to speak to us in ways so that we could understand. And that's the one thing I want us to walk away from when I think about that word parable right now. Without getting too complicated about it, God wants you to understand the message of this little story. And he's told it to us in stories. Jesus Christ came down here in stories to tell us stories because he wants us to get it. He wants us to understand it. God wants your life to be like that man who took 5 talents and made it into 5 more. He wants your life to be like that person, that man or that woman, who took those 2 talents and made it into more. God wants you to understand. And that's a thrilling thing. Because sometimes we think that God is against us, that God has put roadblocks in our lives, that there's too much to overcome in order for us to be a success for Christ. We'll look a little bit tonight about that issue, and maybe that was part of what drove that last servant to be unprofitable, that somehow he thought it was too difficult and too hard. I don't know what it was. The parable doesn't really go into his reasons. But because the Lord told a parable, God is telling us that I want you to understand. And I want you to understand, he says, what the kingdom of heaven is going to look like. couple years ago, I was doing a series here at the chapel in Matthew on the kingdom of heaven. Never finished that series here, but someday I will. We stopped at chapter 23. But the whole point of the book of Matthew is God is telling us that something great is coming. The kingdom of heaven, the empire of God, the rule of God. My children were watching the History Channel the other day, and the channel was going through the expansion of the Persian Empire. Persian Empire, perhaps the largest that this world has ever seen, stretching from India all the way to the coasts of Greece and into Africa and down through Egypt, an enormously powerful, powerful empire. And there were times when the Greeks knew that the Persians were coming, the Persians were coming. There was a period of, I think it was almost 200, maybe 300 years where they knew they're coming. They're coming. And of course, it scared the Greeks. They were preparing for battle. They were preparing for, and there were centuries of preparation that needed to take place before they could withstand the onslaught of the Greek of the Persian military might. But they had this understanding that something big was coming. In a positive way, the Lord Jesus, when he came onto this planet, John the Baptist went around shouting, "It's coming, the great kingdom of God, it's coming, and I want you to get ready for it. I want you to be prepared for it. I want you to reorganize your life and your life's priorities so that they fit in what God's kingdom is going to be and is going to look like." And in Matthew, of course, there is so much about the kingdom of God. It is going to be a kingdom where the poor are going to be exalted. The poor are going to be exalted. The kingdom of heaven is a place where iniquity is going to be removed. In the Sermon on the Mount, as the Lord begins to say, this is what your standards are like. If you murder a brother, or if you kill someone here, down here, the full extent of the law comes to bear upon that person. But in my kingdom, if you even hate your brother, even have a thought that your brother's a fool, up in heaven, my standards are far more higher, and I will prosecute. There is a righteousness, a level of righteousness that is coming in this kingdom of heaven. It's coming, and we can be a part of it. God has found a way to bring us into it. Those great portions in Romans, in Matthew chapter 13 about conversion and how we can be brought into the family of God, how God can take things that seem like they're small and make them into big things for God. God can do that with your life. And so we read about this kingdom over and over again. The Lord will say, great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. There is a reward that you can live for. My kingdom is coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready. And so as the Lord is about to approach the cross, he ends with these last few chapters in Matthew 24 and 25. As he begins to explain those last days before the kingdom actually physically appears and what they look like. And he gives us this parable because he's going to say that as you look at this parable, you are going to see a little bit about what it's going to look like before my kingdom appears. And so what does it look like? What is this parable saying? What does it describe? Well, first of all, there are many parables about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew and in the rest of Scripture. This parable, in my mind, is focused in on helping us understand how promotion works in the kingdom of heaven, how reward works in the kingdom of heaven. It is also a parable that helps us understand what the Lord expects. This is a big problem in industry and in businesses that are run by men and by women today. Sometimes those who own the business do not do a good job of properly passing down their expectations, what they expect their employees to do, and do a very poor job of rewarding their employees for the good work that they do. Today, men are in business to keep money for themselves, not to give it away. The Lord Jesus says, I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. His kingdom is completely different. He's come to give it all away, and there are endless resources, and they can never be exhausted. His kingdom is very different than what we have down here. And our Lord is very different. And here in this parable, he says, I want you to understand what I'm expecting. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. And I want you to understand where promotion and more responsibility comes from. And in that is very, maybe comes for some of us, seems very challenging and scary, but it is also very encouraging because our God is expecting us. He is expecting us to do well. And so it must be possible to do well. It must be something that we can achieve, that God has provided a way for it to happen. And in that thought, there is great hope and great assurance. God has not asked you to live a life that you cannot live. God has not asked you to do things that are not possible. With God, with Christ, all things are possible. And so here, in this portion, God's expectations, the Lord's expectations, are described to us in a, well, the term reap. You knew that I reaped where I did not sow, he says. He is looking for a return on his investment. He has given you something. He has given me something. He has given you goods, his goods, the scriptures say his, talents and abilities. And he wants a return. He wants a return on his investment. And he wants a generous return. Not just 5% or 8%. The best years on Wall Street, 20% at a clip usually. No, that's not good enough for the Lord. He wants something far more generous from your life. He wants a return. And this is his expectation. And this is what this parable is suggesting. And by giving us this parable, he is telling us, and it's possible. You can see this kind of profitability in your Christian life. The story, well, you know the story well. There is, and he is described at first a traveler, interesting term. He is described as a traveler in verse 14, at least in the King James Version. Later on, the term Lord comes up over and over and over again. He is a man of wealth, he has goods, and he is very demanding, as we find at the end of the story. He knows what he wants, and he feels like he has expressed his expectations to those who have been entrusted with his goods. The Lord here has done a good job of explaining that to the servants. For all of the servants, even the one who is unprofitable, understood that he came up short and that he did not meet his Lord's expectations. He is a Lord. And the Bible says here in verse 14 and in verse 19, two words that I think help set the stage. He travels to a far country, and in verse 19, for a long time. And the kingdom of heaven is going to look like that before it comes. It's going to be like the Lord is far away for a very long time. Brother Weston was talking a little bit about this. Actually, this is the argument that comes at our young men and women as Satan seeks to rock them from their faith. You've never seen him. He's so far away. And it's been so long since he's been here. And then he comes. It can't be true. It can't be true. Number one, the thing, the essence of all the attack on faith, on believers, are those two things. Here is this man. He goes to this far country and for a long time. It means he was not accessible. It means that he was really gone. It means that there was a temptation, a chance to suggest to get used to living life, maybe for 20, 25, 30 years. I don't know how long he was away. Perhaps he's not coming back. There was that environment set for these servants to live life without him around and to get used to living life without him around and lose sight of the fact that he was going to come back. He was going to come back. The Bible says that he imparted to these three servants his goods. Now, we have to be careful about reading too much into parables, but I would suggest that those servants had their goods, goods that were theirs. They had their lives that they were living. But you see, this man was going someplace, and he was going to leave his goods behind. It doesn't suggest that he left all of them, but it could have been all of the goods he left with these people. Where I'm going, I can't take them. I'm coming back, though, and I want to see that my goods flourished while I was not here. And he parted them, gave them out. He was a wise man, and he gave his goods, took real risk with his goods, things that he was watching over, things that he was diligently trading in, things that he was investing in, things that while he was here, he was seeing grow, and he was now taking all that stuff and giving them to his servants. And he did it according to their abilities. I know you can handle five of these things, and I know you can handle two of these things, and I know you can handle one of these things, and he handed them out according to their abilities. This is what this man is like. This is what God is like, the Bible is suggesting. Now you take those things, you can do well with these things. You can make this grow, just like if as if I was here. You can do this. I've showed you how to do that. I've expected you to do this. You go ahead and you do that for me. And I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Our brother Weston suggested that it is hard sometimes to live like that. And the man who lost sight of the fact that the servant was coming back is in serious trouble. I'm coming back. And I want to see what I've done, what I've given you, I want to see that that has grown. This is what our lives are all about. And some of us thrive in this environment for Jesus, and some of us don't. This is what the parable is talking about. Why did these two thrive? And tonight, why did the other not thrive? Why did he fail? Why did these succeed, these first two succeed? And why did the others fail? So let's, as we come to, we have our last 5 minutes here, let's think about the two that did well and did well for the Lord. The Bible says in verse 16 that they traded. They traded. So this man who did so well with these goods, he knows that he's going to see his Lord again. He didn't let the fact that the Lord was far away or had been gone a long time ever influence any of his decisions. It may not be today, it may not be next week, but I'm going to see him again, and I'm going to have to give an account. And he traded. The idea there is that there was a daily thinking about how his Lord's goods were doing. Constantly wondering if they were invested in the right place, if they were accomplishing what they needed to be done. Watching. We sang that song, "Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, waiting for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching?" Watching what? Yeah, we often think it's watching up in the clouds. No, 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 no. It's watching what God has entrusted you with right now to see if it is producing a crop for the Lord right now. There was a diligence that was required. There was hard thinking that was involved as he contemplated what these goods were doing in the marketplace, shifting and making decisions. There was energy and there was effort involved. He signed up for that. He could have been involved with other things, thinking about other things, distracted by other things. There were those who might have come to him and said, what are you doing watching these goods here? He hasn't been here for a long time. Why don't you think about these things or invest in these things? There were distractions on every side. No, this is what he's given me to do, and I need to be careful with what God's given me. And I need to be sure that they're producing the kinds of fruit that God expects them to produce. When the Lord comes back, the man comes to the Lord with what he has gained. And he says, look at what I have gained. And again, you might think that that might be a negative thing, but there's something very positive in that. He became personally attached to the success and the growth of the investment, the spiritual investment that he was in. It meant something to him. It was like the reason for his life. My life was about seeing what you gave me increase. And he became identified with the work of the Lord, identified with what was going on. The reason for why that man got up in the morning, the reason for why that woman was happy in the morning was because they knew that that day something was going to be produced for Christ, be produced for God. I've gained these things. There is excitement. There is his joy. And of course, the man says, now I want you to enter into my joy. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I see your joy. But oh, how about my joy? Look at what you've done with what I've given you. They were personally attached. It was hard work. It was close watching that was involved to see the investment grow. And so, in verse 20, when this man comes and he talks to the Lord, I've received the 5 talents. He said, Lord, you gave me 5 talents. Thank you. Thank you. God has given you something. God has given you something. Thank you, God. Maybe it's a child, a grandchild. Maybe it's a place at the chapel. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's this parable is not necessarily about spiritual gifts. It's about talents and abilities, all from God. All from God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. You didn't get them yourself. He didn't get them himself. They were given to him. He was just to take them and to use them the way God wanted them to be used. It was still all of God. But he was so grateful. Are you grateful for what God has given you, your abilities, athletically maybe? With your charm or your grace or your ability to be friends, your ability to organize? I don't know what it is. You know what it is. Thank you, God. And he talks about his life with excitement and with joy. He was happy at the end of his days because there was fruit in his life. It's a great thing. You can have that. You and I can have that. The end of our days, as we begin to approach and take those last few steps to glory, we can have that excitement that there was something done down here for Christ that will last. He had a joy. And so when he comes before the Lord and he presents what he has done, the Lord says to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We've had so much ministry on that, I don't need to belabor or talk about that very much. But to say that the Lord was happy when he came back and use those phrases, well done. Not just, yeah, that was good. Well done. A lot of people at work who say, hey, what did you think about this? And I'll say, well, it was good. I only use the word it was great very rarely at work. And well done very rarely at work. Because quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, not my standards are the best, but a lot of stuff is done at work and it's not great. It's good. It's okay. The Lord wants to be able to say, well done. Just good. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the Lord then reveals something to this man that he didn't know. There's more to do. I've got more to do. Put those things aside now, because I want to make you ruler over cities. It's like exponentially more. The Lord says, you've been faithful with very little. Now, while he was down here, I don't know. There may have been some who said, what are you doing with those 5 talents? Go down to the bank. There's 20 talents, and you can do something with those for Mr. Smith. And maybe that's what went wrong with the servant who buried his talents. Maybe he thought that what God gave him was too small, too little. That's a big problem today for Christians. What are we doing here at Bethany Gospel Chapel, you know? Suffolk Construction. Now there's a $1.5 million company that you could put a lot of time and energy and effort into it. Bethany Gospel Chapel. It seems a little little, you know, a little small. And we can get our eyes off of this, onto the size thing, and we can miss. God gave you those talents. And the world is never going to tell you that the things of God are worth living for, that they're big enough. There are other things that are bigger. Solving the swine flu, joining the World Health Organization, learning all about these great big issues. Little assembly, Bethany Gospel Chapel, come on, too small, think big. This man didn't let that sway him. No, you've given me this to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that what you give me, I'm faithful with. And at the end, the Lord comes back and says, you know, it was a little thing, but thank you for doing it. Think about it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what has God asked us to do? How hard is it? Be faithful here at the chapel. Be faithful to his word. To give our lives to him. Give our lives to him. Yeah, give our lives to him. Is that really that hard? Think about it. It wasn't yours in the first place. You didn't somehow get it. God gave you your life. Just give it back to him. It's like if I came to Brother Bob and I gave him a huge sum of money, which I wish I could give Brother Bob a huge sum of money. But, and then I said, Bob, can you give it back to me? He said, okay, here you go. What's so hard about that? I gave it to him, he gives it back to me. That's what God's done for us. He's given you your life. You didn't get it somehow. He says, just give it back. Think about it. What has God really asked us to do? How hard is it? Down here, the Lord says to the servant, yeah, it was a little thing, but thank you for being faithful in that. And now, I've got more for you to do. More for you to do. So just to close, you want a life like that? You want a life that thrives in those circumstances? Here are 4 things that this man, I think, were secrets of his life. This man or this woman. Number one, he did not let the far distance affect his thinking. He didn't let what seemed like the distance between him and God influence his thinking. He was going to be faithful anyway. Number 2, he did not let the long time influence his decisions. He was gone a long time, and our Lord has been gone a long time. Although, typical of our Lord, it's really fast, he says. It's really quickly. I will come and I will tarry not. I'm coming as fast as I can. And we think it's so long, but you know, reverse that a little bit. Think about what that means, what eternity is really like. If this is fast for the Lord, what is eternity going to be like? Wow. But he didn't let that time thing influence him. Number 3, he knew that the goods were not his. They were the Lord's. He knew that what was given to him were not his. They were the Lord's. And the last thing, he had his eye on the well done. I'm going to sit down with my Lord one day, and we're going to talk about my life. And when I go into that room, into that temple, into that sanctuary, wherever it is, I want to go in with the joy. You gave me this. And I did my best. And here it is. I brought you more. because I crave to hear you say, well done. That's what made this man tick, this woman go. This is what we need to be like. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. So, Lord, we do thank you for the scriptures, the word of God. They're quick and they're powerful and they're sharper than any two-edged sword. And we turn this parable in towards ourselves, and we want to be like this man who takes what you've given them and grows it into something bigger and better for you. And so, Lord, we know that this can only happen not in our strength and not in our abilities to think, but in daily, constantly relying on the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives and seeking direction in our lives from your word. So help us to be like this and thrive in this time when it seems like you're in that far country and it seems so long since we've seen you. Help us, Lord, to keep our eye on the well done and to do well for you down here. We ask, Lord, if anything good has been spoken this morning from the platform, that, Lord, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, might receive all the honor and all the glory. In his name we pray. Amen.